It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. And also sign up for our weekly newsletter. There's a lot of great information there. We did three very important podcasts last week, which we debuted in the newsletter. One was Steve Ryder, who he's been on the show a couple of times. His wife, Elizabeth, died alone after 21 days in the hospital during the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. Both of them had tested negative for COVID-19. He had personal protective gear, and they still would not let him see her. And he thought he was going to bring her home, and she ended up passing on. It's a riveting story, so be sure you can go to the website and listen to that as well. And then we did two other podcasts last week, one with Reverend C.L. Bryant. He had been a rising star with the NAACP. And then when he had indicated that he could not be promoting abortion, he said a star that was rising and took a U-turn, but talked with him about what is happening in America right now. So that's a great podcast. And then my friends Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas with I'm a Trumpster. They grew up in black Democrat homes and realized that they're in the black entertainment business, that intellectual property is so important. And Donald Trump understands that. And at that point in time, they said, he's our guy. And so they've really stepped up to the plate. They have funded their whole thing 98% with their own money. But they are bringing in a bus that they're going to make it a media bus and take into ethnic neighborhoods to talk about Donald Trump. And they need $10,000 to wrap the bus. And so, my friends, we'd like to help them with that. And so go to I'm a Trumpster and contribute. If you contribute $50, you'll also get one of their cool battle masks. And then we're going to also have a celebration on the 26th, I think it is, of June with the bus. And they'll be doing some media things there as well. And you will get to come to that party. So $50 will get you in. Obviously, if you can give more, that would be great. And then also just shoot me an email at kim@kimmunson.com and let me know that that you have done that. One other thing, go to the website and sign up for Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice. Did this this workshop last year at the Western Conservative Summit, standing room only, so we decided that we were going to do this with our salon series, and that is the three punches to knock down democratic socialism. And my gosh, do we ever need to get our brains around that particular issue. And that event will be on Monday, June 22nd at Water's Edge Winery. You can go to my website to purchase your ticket. The tickets are $20, $3 processing fee. And then at the event, you can go ahead, you'll pay for whatever you want to eat or drink. And so that's going to be very important. We will probably sell out on that. And so I'd recommend that you do that ASAP. So it is a Monday morning. Always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, those at Crawford Broadcasting, as well as our team of Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And each of you listeners, I so appreciate you. I was down at the rally yesterday regarding this. It's ultimately is coming down to forced vaccinations instead of informed consent, forced vaccinations. And I see big danger in that. And so I saw a lot of you listeners down at the rally as well. So each of you are treasured, you're valued, and I greatly appreciate you. So Monday morning, Steve, how are you doing this morning?
I am here. I am present. What else can I say? You know, I was listening to you talk there, and the phrase democratic socialism, in light of the last two or three weeks, it almost has taken a back seat. You know, in the list of things that are kind of working against us, and I'm thinking, wow, who knew? that, this quest for democratic socialism, not that it's, they lipstick on a pig when they try to put the word democratic in front of it. But still, in light of the activities of the last 10 days or so, it's like, oh, my gosh, I almost forgot about that.
Well, socialism ultimately comes down to force. And my gosh, you are seeing force here with the damage to property. It's astounding to me. And, we talk about it. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear, or destruction.
My favorite, the unpredictable taxation.
And freedom, we talk about these issues. We have to look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. It's so important. Let's go to our quote for today. This is from Edmund Burke, and I think many of you know this quote. He was born in Dublin in Ireland, which was at that time part of the British Empire. He was the son of a prosperous attorney, and after an early education at home, homeschooling, I guess, became a boarder at a school run by Abraham Shackleton, a Quaker from Yorkshire. Burke received his university education at Trinity College, Dublin, which was a bastion of Anglican Church of Ireland, and then he proceeded to Middle Temple, London, in order to qualify for the bar. But legal practice was less attractive to him than the broader perspective, which had captured his attention at the university earlier. Now, just think about this, Steve. He was born in 1729. He died in 1797 at the age of 68. But his earliest writings were a philosophical inquiry into the origin of our ideas of the sublime and beautiful, a vindication of natural society. He co-authored an account of the European settlements and began an abridgment of English history. He also published American Taxation, Conciliation with America, Fox's East Indian Bill, and Thoughts on the Cause of the Present Discontents, The Reflections on the Revolution in France, among other writings. I mean, that's pretty, pretty impressive, don't you think?
Absolutely. And again, we go here every time you bring one of these to the forefront is the power of words, and power of words that were uttered two centuries ago, and yet how relevant they are.
And this is what he said. He said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
That particular quote, I think, came to me, and I don't know, maybe the rest of the world, was really brought to the front during World War II or the days leading up to World War II. Good men sitting back doing nothing was not a good thing.
And it's not a good thing now. Now, we are, I say that we are always in the battle of ideas, the battle of words, but we have seen the destruction of property. And Patty had found this, I guess it was via Twitter initially, Lucy from the Bronx. She had her own business. And this is such a powerful soundbite. Steve, would you play that, please?
You says Black Lives Matter.
How did you say that?
I work here part-time. Plus, I'm a part owner of this store. You said Black Lives Matter. Why don't you choke me? I'm black.
Tell him, sister.
Look what you did to my store.
Tell him, sister.
Look! Look what you did to my store.
Tell him, sister. That's right, because I got they back. These are my dudes right here. Good men.
Look at the things you've done.
Good men.
Look!
The Black Lives Matter.
We've been here all night cleaning up. All night cleaning.
And you got black people standing right here with them. Black
people.
Tell
me.
Right.
Black Lives Matter.
Exactly.
You lied. You wanted to loot the store. You needed money. Get a job like I do. Stop stealing. This is the neighborhood. We're trying to build it up and you tearing it down. What's your...
Wow. That pretty well says it. You know, this whole Black Lives Matter, if you say all lives matter, all of a sudden, those are fighting words almost, it seems. But, Lucy really nailed it here. She has been working to create, wealth for herself, her family. She's working hard. And under this Black Lives Matter, this looting and this rioting, she said, she pretty well nailed it. I mean, it's stealing is what it is. And it's couched behind this whole political movement of Black Lives Matter. Steve, what's your thoughts?
Well, to see the video that goes with that audio, she's standing in front of her establishment, some type of a delicatessen, I think.
In the Bronx, yeah.
Yeah, in the Bronx. And the windows are obviously smashed out. And she's basically taking it out with the guy behind the camera, taking it on with the guy behind the camera, who thought for some reason it was a good thing to capture their handiwork. And she really took them to task. And get a job. You can't drive it home any better than that.
Well, and, you know, when we go back to Edmund Burke's quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. We have to, you know, as C.L. Bryant said in our podcast the other day, he said, we need to take back this narrative. And a couple of things, Patty found this, the Claremont Institute had come out and they said, America is not racist. And we need to, first of all, start with that particular premise. We are not racist. And those that talk about diversity is something that actually divides us. Look at the word, diversity, divide. Abraham Lincoln, also Christ said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So one has to ask, when we go back to Rudyard Kipling and these questions that we ask, which are, you know, what, why, when, how, where, and who, what are they trying to accomplish by dividing us? Are they trying to tear this country down? It's what it looks like to me. Why? Why do they want to tear this country down? America has been one of the most inclusive societies throughout the history of man. Why do they want to tear this down? As Lucy said, get a job instead of tearing this down. But you, she said, you wanted to loot this. You wanted to take this without working. But yet they're couching it behind this political movement. And this Black Lives Matter, ultimately COVID-19, Wuhan virus, reaction disruption, the Black Lives Matter movement that we currently have, this is actually, these are political movements that they are trying to defeat Donald Trump come this November. That is ultimately what's going on here. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, you know, it has been such a difficult time for our restaurants when we had, you know, these edicts from Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock and all these different municipalities shutting down businesses. But now it looks like we're opening up. And one of my valued partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations here in Colorado. So I dropped by the other night and had some great nachos, terrific margarita, and it was wonderful. Or you can pick up your wings to go. Go to order.hooters.com. But drop by and make sure, treat yourself, and also support our great restaurants and bars and taverns. So Hooters Restaurants, valued part of mine, I'd greatly appreciate it if you'd drop by and give them some business. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado will be with us to talk about legislation down at the State House. There had been a gentleman's agreement that they would just basically do things that I think they were fast. They didn't cost money. We'll ask her about that. But instead, the gentleman's agreement flew out the door the minute they got back into session. So we'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. and go over to Facebook and give us a like. We're going to jump in here with Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado, but I just wanted to let you know, I just saw a headline come across the wire here that 9 Minneapolis City Council members announced plans to disband the police department. And when we did the podcast with C.L. Bryant the other day, so when people are, when nefarious people are trying to break into your house, who are you going to call if you don't have the police department? Ghostbusters, or who's it going to be? So, you know, let's think about where we are headed if that happens. We're headed to anarchy. Okay, Sue Moore, Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. It is, it's wild everywhere. What's happening down at the State House?
Well, Kim, good morning. Nice to talk to you. As we talked about last week, the legislature's been on hiatus, or they were on hiatus for about 10 weeks. They've only been back up for a little over 2 weeks. Rumor has it they're going to try and wrap up this week, but I'm not sure I would take that bet. The Democrats are still trying to push through a lot of bad bills. They've got their foot on the gas, and so who knows what's going to happen. But at any rate, I'm going to call this week's report a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week for citizens of Colorado, because nothing good came out of this week. Talked about Senate Bill 160, the vaccination bill that was heard yesterday in committee. I didn't go down there, but I did listen to testimony online. So it was heard in the Health and Insurance Committee yesterday. And I was told over 2,000 people had assembled at the Capitol. You might have a better
I would say that's accurate. I think that's accurate, yes.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, I guess there was a rally that was held for about 2 hours before the committee met noon. Under current law, students have to either provide their immunization records, a certificate of medical exemption, or a statement of non-medical exemption for religious or personal beliefs in order to start school. This bill would require parents to complete an online immunization education module if they want an exemption. So that's new. So I guess the assumption is that as a parent, you can't possibly be making the right decision if you decide not to immunize your child. So they're now forcing you to complete a course to somehow persuade you to do the right thing. It's as insulting as it is coercive, Kim. It's just a bad idea. The bill also requires healthcare practitioners to submit immunization and medical data into CIS. It's the Colorado Immunization Information System, and it's maintained by the Department of Public Health. This can include school healthcare workers, obviously, to enter this information. So there are privacy issues galore in this bill. One woman who testified said that she worked for a school system. And she talked about how easy it was to gain access to the system. Mm-hmm. Basically, she just had to make a phone call, get credentialed, and then she had access to this system. So you can see, you know, there are all kinds of holes in this idea. It's ripe for abuse. And I also heard a young girl, a minor, who testified that she was worried about being bullied and ostracized at school if her immunization status was ever found out. Kids can be mean, especially kids in middle school and high school. So you can imagine how this could play out in a middle school cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
So bad bill all the way around. And
that passed out of committee, 7-4, straight down party lines. I was at the rally. RFK Jr. has taken this. Ultimately, we're headed towards forced vaccinations, I think. And he was... it was pretty impressive what he had to say. I'm not sure I agreed with him on everything, but it was certainly impressive. And he did testify also at that committee. So, but it passed out 7-4, and there were a number of Black Democrats that also spoke and testified against this bill. So it was really interesting. So, Sue, I know I've got us jammed up on time, though. So what are the other things that we need to talk about?
Well, the other biggie that just was introduced last week is Senate Bill 217, Enhanced Law Enforcement Integrity. So this is all in response to the George Floyd killing and the protests. It was quickly together. And like I said, it was introduced just last week. It was heard in committee on Friday. It'll have a second reading tomorrow. There's from stakeholders. This bill mandates body cameras to be worn by police officers. It has more data reporting force, defines and places new limits on allowable use of force, and it creates a new civil cause of action when rights have been violated. So it basically eliminates qualified immunity. It also
qualified immunity for police officers, correct?
Police officers, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I think if we were going to even entertain that idea, then I think we should take away qualified immunity for politicians and bureaucrats that do things that hurt people as well. But that's just my editorial comment. Continue on, please.
Well, that's another conversation. But basically, in this bill, it provides for all unedited recordings of body camera footage to be released to the public or made available to the public within 14 days of an incident. So privacy issues again. What happens if you are the victim of a sexual assault? You're talking to a police officer. You're revealing intimate things that happened to you.
That's a good point.
How is that protected? Yeah, and then there are costs involved. Just on the state level, it's $1.6 million. But then you push those costs down to the local law enforcement level. They've got to buy equipment. They've got to do training. That they've got administrative costs. So the costs will build, and that can't be the driving factor. The privacy issues is number one, and the legal issues are just going to be untenable. So anyway, things need to change in law enforcement. This bill will obviously have unintended consequences, and it just needs to be better planned out. It's just being rushed.
Yeah, it's a knee-jerk reaction to all this. Yes.
Exactly. So a couple of bad business bills, if we still have time.
And we've got about 2 minutes, or a minute and a half.
Okay. House Bill 215, the Health Insurance Affordability Enterprise. It's basically a sister bill to HB 1349 that came out in March. It might be one of the most costly bills that's introduced this session. It pushes costs onto hospitals and insurance providers to create a fee that they claim will lower health insurance costs. Basically, it's a cost-shifting bill. If you get your health insurance from your employer, they're obviously, if they have increased costs, they're going to pass those on in the form of premiums to you. So it's, like I said, it's basically a shifts costs from those who get their insurance from their employer to provide for insurance for those who don't. So it's a bad bill. It's going to be a very expensive bill. They use a lot of tortured logic to say that it's saving money, but in the end, it really doesn't.
Right.
So those are the biggies this week. I don't see much good coming out the rest of the week, but we'll follow up Monday.
Okay. And that website where people can get all the information that you all are putting together is rlcco.org. That's rlcco.org. I'd recommend that you all check that out, because the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado is doing a lot of great work. Sue Moore, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, let's jump over here to Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, just as we were on the phone on Friday morning, they were releasing unemployment numbers, and then the market reacted to that. So what's your thoughts on all this?
Well, one thought I had first, Kim, you made a joke, who are we going to call, Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
But don't forget, in the movie, the bureaucrats tried to shut them down, too.
Good one. You're right. That's true. I mean, it's unbelievable to me, Jason. I just can't believe that I've just seen this headline. And, of course, then Sue was talking about this, I think it's Senate Bill 217. What do people think? I just don't understand it, Jason.
I don't understand it either. I guess maybe that's another conversation. But back to the jobs report, it was actually very good and a huge surprise. We gained 2.5 million jobs in May. I don't think there was one estimate that thought we were going to gain. I think the average was another 9 million job losses. Some of the real doom and gloomers had us at about 17 million, but a big surprise, we gained 2.5, and they said that there was a big increase in leisure and hospitality jobs. Let's see, where else? Leisure, hospitality, construction, education, health services, and retail trade. Now, this is interesting. It says government employment continued to decline sharply. So there was all kinds of good news in the jobs report.
That's for sure. And the market, it really reacted as well, because it was not expecting it, because it was not at least built into the market at that time. And so it was up, over 800 points or so?
Yeah, about 800. The futures are up almost 300 this morning. And the NASDAQ, I believe, went back and made a new all-time high on Friday. So it's almost like this never happened.
Wow.
As far as the NASDAQ and the tech stocks are concerned.
You know, one thing, though, Jason, we're at this point. I know you've mentioned maybe people might want to consider taking some profits, you know, keeping some of their powder dry. And I would recommend that people sit down and talk with you on your strategy on that, because, you know, there was a knot in people's tummies when the market got creamed when all this happened. And I think people kind of need to listen to that and figure out what their risk tolerance is.
Well, yes, that's a good point, Kim. Some people may need to think about changing it. Some people may not. But if you were half scared to death, pulling your hair out and saying, I never want to go through this again, the markets are kind of giving you a chance to make that decision, having pretty much all of your money back now. So you very seldom get a second chance.
Right. And so to reassess that, people need to reach out to you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And that keeps you apprised of all the upcoming guests, our op-eds, our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. I am thrilled to have on the line with me one of my valued partners, but also someone who really thinks about the issues that are facing America today. And that is Jay Davidson. He is the founder, chairman, CEO of First American State Bank. It's a community bank right here in the Denver metro area. And community banks are the banks that have really helped everyday entrepreneurs create their hopes and dreams. So, Jay Davidson, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's an honor to be here again. And I was hoping that we could avoid living in interesting times, which is a Chinese curse. But it looks like we get to live in some interesting times right now.
You know, we are at a defining moment, Jay Davidson, in our country. Since the last time that we talked, we've had this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. That's what I'm now calling it. And then this rioting in the streets. And so the very fabric of the American idea is being challenged. And you're always putting out important thoughts really they kind of stop me in my tracks sometimes. And one of the recent ones that you put out, you said, is the social unrest and rioting another unintended consequence, a backlash of the quarantine and shutting down, of forcing isolation and disassociation? Or like the economic devastation of the quarantine, is it an inevitable consequence that the governor should have thought about before taking such extreme measures? Big question. What's your thoughts on this, Jay Davidson?
Well, I think that the question must be asked, and I hope that the population will ask the question in 2 years. Well, actually, before November, because right now Governor Polis has pretty much complete autonomy where he is. Head of the Democratic Party, House and Senate are Democrat. Of course, he's a Democrat. And I know a lot of people like him, and I get that, and I respect what he's done in his business. I'm just a little bit shocked that that it comes down to either he is incapable of thinking cause and effect, which is I'm going to shut the economy down, therefore people are going to lose jobs, and therefore people are going to lose wages, and therefore everybody's going to suffer. Or if he didn't think about, and he went ahead and did it, and he did shut down, or if he didn't think about it, then he's incompetent. So either way, he's malicious, or he is, his actions, I shouldn't say he, his actions are malicious or incompetent. Either way, I don't particularly personally want that kind of person running my state or having anything to do with my private life.
So the question on the table on whether or not it was malicious or whether or not he was incompetent is actually probably irrelevant, because what we really are looking at is the consequences of what has happened. And, you know, I'm seeing restaurant fronts that now that we're quote unquote kind of opened up, that they are not opened up. It looks like maybe they have closed. And, you know, Jay, this rioting, this destruction of property that we are seeing it's antithetical to the American idea. You just need to respect other people's stuff. You don't tear stuff up. And if you tear something up, you need to pay for it. You need to make sure it gets fixed. But it's not that different. I mean, with taking public policy and destroying people's property, the actual consequence is the same, Jay Davidson.
Well, that's exactly it. And either we are in a country, a constitutional republic, where the rule of law, the Constitution, is held sacrosanct and people are held to account to it, or we're not. And I see actions that governors and mayors are allowing to happen. I don't object to protests. I encourage them. They have every right to protest. But I object to rioting and destruction of personal property, and that's strictly criminal. And these mayors and governors are sitting back and letting these criminals run free because they're afraid of something, or they want anarchy in our nation. Either way, they're not competent to stand and govern our state.
Well, and speaking of anarchy, I just saw a headline at the end of last week that in Minneapolis, some people are calling for the abolition of the police department. Now, let's think about it. You know, it is that thin blue line that stands between, you know, people being able to sleep at night and nefarious characters that might like to come in at night and hurt you and take your stuff. And if we don't have those peace officers there out patrolling the streets at night protecting us, I mean, come on, friends, let's start to think about, let's play that out. What does that mean for you and your families? Right, Jay? I mean, people need to start thinking about this.
Well, I wish they would. This new law that is going through the Colorado House and Senate is a further destruction of the rights of the individual police officer. I hear now that the law has a provision in it where the individual policeman can be held responsible. Let's parse this up a little bit. This is an overreaction to one incident where a criminal cop, who happens to be a cop and happens to be white, but those are not relevant issues. He is a man who committed murder. He needs to stand trial. And he killed another man who happens to be black, but that's not relevant. The fact is he committed murder, and this guy is dead. The bad guy has to stand trial. But now we're going to take the 99.9999% of really good cops in an extremely difficult situation and make it infinitely worse for them by allowing them to be sued individually, and to add insult to injury, these leftist senators and congressmen want to prevent this individual cop from obtaining insurance to cover his cost of being in his profession. My son was a police officer, served with distinction for 11 years, both undercover with an FBI group and as a street cop and a uniform officer. He got out because he got sick and tired of the citizenry attacking him because he was standing up. This man runs to the sound of gunfire. Not like you and me. We run away from it.
Right.
These guys run to it. What? Why would we ever harm these people? Because less than 0.00001% are bad cops. This insanity that the left is promulgating and people are going along with, I'm afraid, is going to cause more damage and more harm to the American way of life and the rule of law than anything they could possibly do.
Well, and so, I mean, we're looking at anarchy. I mean, and so again, I don't know for sure if it's malicious or if it's incompetent or they think there's a political advantage to that. But this is happening, Jay, in blue states with blue governors and in cities with blue mayors. And so they're talking about, quote unquote, systemic racism. The question on the table then, okay, Joe Biden, he's talking about systemic racism. I mean, he has been in Congress, the Senate, the Vice President of the United States for years and years and years. It seems like if that was a problem, then it needed to be addressed and it could have been addressed. But you know what? That doesn't play good on their political narrative. I'm just looking up, Jared Polis was first elected to office to the Colorado State Board of Education in 2001. So that was 19 years ago. You know, in 19 years, if that is a problem, it seems like in being in elected office for that long, they would have done something about it, Jay.
Well, of course. I mean, racism is the final argument that the left uses when they're losing an argument. They will always accuse the person that with whom they're arguing of being a racist. And we who are not racist, who couldn't care less about the color or tone of a man or woman's skin, just let it happen. We're as much to blame as these morons on the left. Excuse me, but I get a little upset about this accusation. I totally disagree with the basic premise of everything the left stands for. We are not racist. This action was not based on race. It was one man killing, murdering another man. Well, we have laws against that. Let's enforce those laws. But don't allow this crisis to change the fabric of our nation.
And then see the destruction of property. So since, what, the beginning of March, middle of March, we saw the destruction of people's lives through public policy. And, you know, one of the things I'm really concerned about, Jay Davidson, is the weaponizing of bureaucracies against everyday people. The weaponizing of these local health departments, quote unquote, to keep you safe, we're going to destroy your livelihood. It just doesn't make sense, Jay. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to break. What's your thoughts on that?
I've long railed against the tyranny of the bureaucracy. And I've said that there's two ways to take over a nation and destroy freedom. One is through force of arms, which, for instance, the communists did in Russia. And the other one is through bureaucracy, the control of the bureaucrat, where the bureaucrat can make the rules and levy the fines, cause untold damage to the private citizen. And that's the state that we're in today. And actually, that's the state that Germany in the 1930s was in, that Adolf Hitler used to eventually take over Germany by force of arms. As I told some friends of mine, you know, we Americans today are looking at the Kristallnacht of 1933.
That is so interesting because I was talking with somebody about that just the other day. And for those that don't know what Kristallnacht is that is, what year was that, Jay? Was it
33 or 34.
Okay. And that is where the Nazis or the Germans came in and they went into Jews' homes. They took out the china, they took out their crystal, and they threw it out in the neighborhood. So it was an assault on property rights is what it was. And in German, it's called Kristallnacht. In English, it's Kristallnacht or Night of the Crystal, when they went out and broke all that. And that was a defining moment. And so we may be having that same defining moment here in America. And, you know, we need to say no. So let's go to break. I'm talking with Jay Davidson. You know him. He is the founder, the chairman of the board, and CEO of First American State Bank. He is a man that engages in the battle of ideas, which that is what America was founded on, and we are in a great battle of ideas right now. So let's go to break. When we come back, I want to hear your additional thoughts on this Kristallnacht moment that we may be having in America. Stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Hey, welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter and go over to Facebook and give us a like. We'd greatly appreciate that as well. On the line with me is Jay Davidson. He is a valued partner of the show. He is the CEO. He's the founder and chairman of the board of First American State Bank, which is a community bank right here in the metro area. Before we went to break, you brought up Kristallnacht, and I'm not sure, you know, kids are not necessarily learning history anymore. It was a defining moment in the history of Germany as Hitler was taking over power, where they went into Jews' homes and took their valuables, really, you know, their crystal and their china, and they took it out and threw it out in the street. And as bad as that was, the symbolism of that, Jay, I think is what was really dangerous. What's your thoughts?
Well, the Kristallnacht is pivotal in that this was a well-planned and well-orchestrated propaganda game by Goebbels, Goering, Hitler, and his henchmen to change the German public's attitude. And if you think about it, the German citizen is probably one of the most highly educated and most religious groups of people in the world. And Martin Luther created Lutheranism in Germany and broke away from the Catholic Church. And Germans are well known for their capability of thinking. I mean, we get Nietzsche and Kant and others from Germany. And here, this population of intelligent, decent people allowed Adolf Hitler to rise. And the Kristallnacht, or the Night of the Long Knives, or the Night of the Brown Shirt, was the pivotal moment when the German people stayed home and allowed these Jewish businesses and homes to be ransacked. Now, today it's not necessarily the Jewish people, thank God, but it is private business, private ownership that is being challenged. These rioters are being allowed by our governor and our mayors to ransack stores, private property. When are they going to come down to the suburbs and start ransacking your home? You need to think about this stuff, everyone. This is serious assault on the very foundation of our nation. And if you think it's just going to pass, I would advise you to be very cautious. At least stay aware of it and speak out about it so our governor knows that he can't just do whatever he wants. I'm frankly offended by Governor Polis when he said, it's the law. No, Governor Polis, it's not the law that we are quarantined, that we are shut down businesses. That was your executive order, sir, and that is not the law. It is not constitutional. It is not legal, and it is absolutely destructive to our economy and to individuals. And I think it is interesting, Kim, if I could just drone on for another second here, that all of a sudden, after 2.5 months of nonstop coronavirus coverage on the media, morning, noon, and night, every day in every piece of media, it was coronavirus. And all of a sudden, there's not a mention of coronavirus. It's all riot. It's all the terrible white cop who killed the poor black man. It's all instigation of violence. What is going on here? Do you think the media might be complicit in this biased presentation? Why isn't coronavirus an issue? Do people still get it? Has it gone away? If it's gone away, was it worth shutting down our economy like the governor has done? The answer to me is so obvious that, you know, be afraid, folks. There's something afoot here that is not right.
There is definitely something afoot here that is not right. And to your point, the coronavirus, you know, they use the narrative to shut down the economy. And granted, Jay, initially, there, you know, we didn't know what we were dealing with. I think that it maybe made some sense to, gosh, let's get our brain around this. A real leader, though, is going to be measured, and they're going to, you know, try to have the least amount of damage to everyday hardworking people. But when Hancock comes out and says 8 weeks, you know, we're shutting down the city to, you know, our bars, our restaurants. I mean, just shutting down the city to most all the service and retail kind of businesses out there. And then Governor Polis comes out and does this disaster declaration, which is supposed to be for 30 days. We can, you know, kind of understand if there's a disaster, okay, there needs to be some leeway. But then every night, right before it's to expire, guess what? It's another 30 days. No rhyme, no reason. He doesn't talk to the business community. They don't know whether or not they're going to open up. If I'm a restaurant, should I try to get my people to come back to work? Or should I order food? And then you find out, oh, he's shutting me down for another 30 days. There's not a measured response. And so there, as you mentioned, our friends, there is something afoot. And it is an assault on everyday hardworking people being able to go after their life, their liberty, and their pursuit of happiness. So, Jay, we are at a defining moment in Colorado and in America.
I agree with that. And I'm not asking for armed insurrection. I'm saying specifically, we have a Constitution, a Bill of Rights, and a Declaration of Independence. Use them. You citizens can make a big difference. Speak out. Speak your heart about these issues. Talk to your friends about it. Write articles to the newspaper. Show them that there is a vast number of people out here that disagree with the actions that the current leftist governor and Congress of Colorado are taking. You know, get out, speak, get involved, and for goodness sake, vote, 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 and vote these people out. Find some more moderate, more centrist, more liberty-minded delegates to our Congress and to our governor's position.
And our state house.
2 years.
Yep.
State house, yeah.
All those races are super, super important. We've got about, 4.5 minutes left. Jay, what would be, you know, one other subject you want to make sure that our listeners are thinking about as we're doing the show?
Well, when you started, you quoted something, and the issue was whether this was malicious intent, the shutdown, or rank incompetence. And then you made another fair statement that when it started, we didn't know. And I'll agree with that. But what I've asked the leadership, people who want to ascend to a position of leadership and lead us, although I object to that concept, but that's what they're saying they want to do, because guess what? They can make laws, they can levy fines, they can cause damage. And I'd say to everybody listening, you look at the last 2 months, and I'll tell you that the last 2 months are nothing compared to the next 2, 3, 4 years of what Governor Polis has done in shutting down this state. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But look at the balance of action that occurred. And did this leader act in a wise and balanced fashion, or did he or she overreact? I submit to you that in 77 decades on this earth, I've seen a few pandemics before, and the only thing that changed this pandemic, this time, the only thing, is the reaction by the government bureaucrats, the cabal of medical bureaucrats in the government, and the media. They all got together somehow, probably it's their DNA, and enacted a panicked reaction to this virus. And I said that on week one, on day one of week one, and I'll say it again. People say you can't know that. Well, maybe you can't know that, but it's pretty obvious to some of us. So ask leaders to demand, demand, and get them out of office if they don't do this. Learn to act in a more wise and balanced fashion. Understand unintended consequences. Understand cause and effect. How could you, the governor, any governor, think that shutting down business for 1 day, 1 month, or 2.5 months would not cause catastrophic economic harm? My goodness, the first-year econ student understands that. And here, Jared Polis has run an entire business, built an entire business. He's a multimillionaire, extremely successful and wealthy man. And in 19 short years, he's ascended to the state governorship. How could he not know that? Well, either he knew it and he did it anyway, which is malfeasance, or he didn't know it, which is incompetence. Either way, does he deserve to be leading your country, your state? I'm sorry. My answer is no, an emphatic no.
Well, and Jay, we have the benefit of a rear view mirror. And that is, as we are realizing from the media that, you know, they were not telling the truth, or they had the wrong numbers. We're seeing the effects of all these different policies. And so we can see, you know, looking back at what has actually happened. And I think that that's important, because the veil is off. And when we talk about standing for America, we're talking about what you and I do. And that is engaging in the battle of ideas with our friends and our family and our colleagues. Because the battle of ideas, Ronald Reagan said, tear down this wall. And with words, the Berlin Wall came down. And so what we're doing is so important. So what's your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners, Jay Davidson?
I think that in spite of all the terrible things that are happening now, that our nation will emerge. I think the individual is strong. I think the vast majority of citizens value and honor their individual freedom. And there's some good that's coming with this very obvious attack on our freedoms and on our Constitution, our very nation. I think more people are aware that this is not an idle issue where you have a different idea from me. This idea that the left has will incontrovertibly change your life if you allow it to continue the way it's been going. I think now the good news is that more people are aware of the left's intent. And this is a long-term intent. They've been at this stuff since Woodrow Wilson
right.
was president. And they're now coming out into the open with Obama's presidency. And people are starting to see, hey, this is not what I signed up for. This is not why I voted for these lefties. And I'm going to change.
I agree with you. I think that it is an exciting time in America as well. So, Jay Davidson, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate your critical thinking, and I appreciate your partnership. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kim. Take care. And by the way, I wanted to note that you received a very prestigious award from the Independence Institute, and I wanted to congratulate that and tell everyone that that is well-deserved.
Thank you, Jay. It is a big honor. When I got the call, it's the Vern Bickel Award. I was just absolutely flabbergasted. So thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon. People love hearing what you have to say, Jay Davidson. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And our quote for today is Edmund Burke. He said, "Good order is the foundation of all things." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.